Consequence Podcast Network.
From the padded cells of Smith's Grove Sanitarium
to the leafy streets of Haddonfield, Illinois,
we are Halloweenies.
Good treat, everyone. This is Michael Myers Rothman back again with a special episode of Halloweenies, and I do mean special. This is another interview with the master of horror himself, John Carpenter. Why? Because Consequence of Sound named him the composer of the year, all for his work for David Gordon Green's Halloween. And while we were a little mixed on the film, we all agreed that we loved his score. So we did call him up again, and we had a nice, spirited 30-minute chat. And while you could read the whole thing at Consequence of Sound as part of the annual report, we felt that you'd want to hear John himself, or shall I say Mr. Carpenter. So sit back and enjoy this very, very fun conversation in which we talk about his work on the film, how the theme has evolved over the past 40 years, and other things such as LeBron James. So enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, is this John?
Yes, it is.
Hey, this is Mike Rothman from Consequence of Sound.
How are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
Well, it's been a good year, I'd say.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Did you have any idea that Halloween would be this big of a success? I mean,
No clue.
What do you think hooked audiences this time? I mean,
I think they dug the story, and it's kind of a walk down memory lane mm-hmm. kind of deal, a little bit, you know. Several things, but it worked. The audiences dug it. So,
what did you
more
dig?
Power
most?
To everybody. What's that?
What did you dig most about it, Conan?
Oh, I just liked it. I liked what David Gordon Green did with it. I thought he did a fantastic job. The style of the film I liked a lot. I loved Jamie's performance. I love Jamie, so her performance was fantastic. Just fantastic.
Was it fun, even just from perspective of getting back together with maybe some faces that you haven't seen in a while? Was that a big part of it, too?
Yeah. Look, the whole thing was fun. Working on the soundtrack was really, really fun. With my son and godson.
Yeah.
Just amazing fun. And it was great to go back and revisit the old score and update it, you know, bring it into this century a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting relationship there because, you know, like 30 years have passed, 40 years actually. And, you know, at least with your director contribution. And how has your relationship changed to both the score and the movie, you know, in that time?
Well, you know, you got to realize many sequels of varying quality have been made over the years. And they've been made for basically one reason only, mm-hmm. is to make money. And some of them are pretty wretched. And I've gotten used to it, you know. Well, they're going to do it again, so... You know, and I hide my head, and sometimes it's good. More than not, it's not good. But but that was my relationship, and I wasn't expecting anything from mm-hmm. it. And Jason Blum, who's Mr. Horror these days,
yeah,
called me up and said, hey. Let's get together. So we met, and he said, well, the sequels, this is going to be made. And so whether we are involved or not, so why don't we do it together? Mm-hmm. Why don't we get aboard? And he wanted me to shepherd it through and kind of make sure it was, quality control, I guess. I don't know why. and let's find a good director. Let's do it. So that was the premise by which we started, and Okay. I said, okay. And David Gordon Green came along and Danny McBride. And they had a great story. And it was just a great idea. And it appealed to me and appealed to my, I have to admit, appealed to my ego.
Yeah.
They said, let's just pretend nothing else exists except the first movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what a clever idea. So I liked that a lot. So off we went, and Danny just killed it. And so did Danny McBride killed it, but so did David Gordon Green, man.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean.
He killed. So.
And it seems like he had like a pretty good idea and a grasp of just where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do going into this. And, you know, I'd seen in interviews that you had said that he actually had a really big involvement with the score, and he kind of gave you some prompts and all. And what exactly did he want from it? You know, what was it when you first talked about the score? What were some of the discussions?
Well, he knew what he wanted and where.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew he wanted some of the old stuff from the movie. And it was, he knew the movie really well. That was the one thing. It was kind of eerie. He knew it a little bit better than I did. And so he knew where he wanted the main title, for instance, and where he wanted something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through the whole thing that way. We went through spotting sessions, but I'm sure you know, but that's what composers do with with directors. You know, they sit down and the director says, I want music here. And the director and the composer says, well, what do you want the music to be doing and saying, and what mood do you want to convey? Anyway, we did that. And it just, he knew, very conversant in music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy. So he knew exactly what he wanted where. It was amazing. He knew better than I did. As a director, much better than I did. I'm kind of impressed by that.
Well, I have to imagine, like, you know, it just, because by then you had already done two The Lost Themes volumes and the anthology collection. Did you bring in what you took from those experiences as well? Like, to be like, hey, look, have you listened to these albums also when you're thinking into making this picture? Or did you bring that yourself?
Well, I don't know if I brought anything in. I just, I bring myself along with the gig, everything I've done and everything I know about music, you know, mm-hmm. I just, part of me, just everything, music is improvised by myself. I just play it. My father made me grow up in a household full of music, and I just barf that all back on the audience. So, that's what I brought to it. And it was, I can't tell you, it was fun to revisit. Oh, I can tell you, here I am telling you. It was fun to revisit the old shit.
Yeah.
Man, I won't say I was impressed because that would sound egotistical, but that sounds pretty good. We updated it.
Yeah.
With the new technology that's available. And, oh my God, I wish I'd had this back then, but no, now I can look good by just doing this.
Do you think back then, you know, cause I know you were on a short timetable at the time. I think it was a couple of days and you did the theme in an hour.
I did three days. I had it on Halloween, 3 days. That's
oh my God. So do you think that with this team that you have right now, you would have been able to get it done shorter, or do you think you would have needed more time? Like, do you think it was just that you were in that moment together?
I don't know. To be frank, you know, we're to have a sane life, we need to not work that hard.
Yeah.
But in those days, you know, I was rip roaring and ready to go, and oh, put me in, coach, that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not anymore. But you know, that 3 day thing, I can't do that again. That's only for the young.
Does that?
You know.
Do you?
And it was drug. No drugs involved in that.
I was going to ask whatsoever. About that because, like, I have to imagine 72 hours. You got. I mean, when you finish the actual theme, that time and in that short time frame, did you like step outside for a moment and be like, okay, like this is,
well, that was, I knew that, okay, we've got this,
yeah,
this part. Okay, yeah. Good. Now I can, if I hit, if I can do like, I don't know, four or five pieces of music that would go with in Halloween that I could cut in anywhere I wanted to, mm-hmm. then I'll be in great shape for the score. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I just sat down and scored with various intensity these pieces that went into the movie.
Well, it's interesting you mention intensity, because with the new theme, you know, I've always likened the Halloween theme is Michael Myers. I feel like it's very similar to the shark with Jaws, and that they are one and the same.
Thank you.
And you know, with the innocence of the piano in the beginning and into that threatening bass, it seems very the original theme seemed to like kind of talk about how, oh yeah, he's this young kid that becomes this monster. And then with the new one, it's so incredibly punishing and harsh. Were you trying to reflect
punishing and harsh?
Oh, wow. It is. I think it's vicious. I think this album is, I think this is a totally vicious score. Easily, I do.
Great.
I think it's so angry and coarse. I love it. But were you trying to reflect an older Michael, or maybe an angrier Michael with the theme song in this one?
Well, I hadn't even thought of it. I like what you're saying, though. Can I use that?
Yeah, go for it.
Interviews? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you know, I know, not particularly. It's just, I just went along with what I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what, you know, we just started scoring from the beginning of the new movie. And we discovered the movie just like the audience does.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look at this. Because I hadn't seen it before. And we started working on it. And wow, look at this. And that's a funny scene. And, you know, we'd go back and look at our favorite moments. And our favorite delivery, the actors delivering lines. Oh, God, it was great.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of places where this is hilarious.
It really is,
and,
yeah.
It's just great. I love this. So it was fun. It was a whole, and I mean this, I don't mean it to sound like a New Age hippie, but it was a great discovery. I mean, we got to discover this film as we were scoring and enjoy it and enjoy the intricacies.
And that,
so it was great.
And that had to be new for you, too, because, I mean, it's you've been so... I mean, by the time you'd scored your own films, you probably, I mean, you knew the film back and forth at that point.
Too much, yes,
yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
That's,
I did, and it's, you know, that's really a pain in the ass, if you want to know the truth. You know, it's just, after a while, I couldn't, well, the whole movie-making process became a bit of a pain in the ass, but, and that's beside the point. And this was a process of discovery, which was fabulous, just fabulous.
Yeah,
I was lucky.
Well, it's interesting too, because it's a total 180 from everything you've done over the last 5 or 6 years, where you are pretty much orchestrating themes that of just nothing there. I mean, it's just that, and that's kind of
exactly
the beauty of those albums. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, well, now we do have visuals on it. Were there any anxiety going into that? Maybe not anxiety per se, but just maybe like, did you have to kind of recalibrate your mind a little bit? I mean, you mentioned discovery as opposed to, I would imagine, just orchestration, maybe with lost themes per se. Like, there seems to be just an interesting like dichotomy 180 going on there, and I just imagine what you were thinking going into it.
You know what? It's different when I have to do a job to an image. It's different. And I didn't realize that before.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is all the same. It isn't all the same. The images, it's because of my background and my training and, you know, how I came into the business and what I... Anyway, I realized, oh, wow, the image affects the music.
Mm-hmm.
What a strange thing. And it's just different. To me, it's different. Probably nobody else thinks it's different.
Yeah.
But so that was an interesting... I mean, I was just like an old hippie now. I'm, oh, look at this.
Well, I mean, is it something that you would want to do, like, or keep doing?
Hell yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Yeah, you get to stay in your house. You don't have to go out to work. You work off a computer. You can, you know, take a break and have coffee. I mean, it's fabulous.
Well, did you?
I don't have to go out. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, like, would you prefer doing, you know, like something like Lost Themes, or would you want to keep doing, like, scoring a picture or, like, scoring films?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, they're both great, but they're involving music now.
Mm-hmm.
See, my first love, my muse, is cinema. I mm-hmm. love directing, but it kills you. It's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an old man now, and I've made a bunch of movies, and they all ganged up on me and started killing me. So I had to stop. I can't do this. And, you know, it's murder on you. So now doing the music, oh, hell, this is easy. I mean, this is great.
Does it make you wonder, you know, doing the music now? You know, I know that your father, you know, had his whole career was in music. And had you followed the father's footsteps, do you feel like you're finally doing that now? Now that you're...
A little bit. My dad's not really around to appreciate it, but...
Yeah.
Well, actually, he did. He thought my scoring my movies was a career in music. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So that was good. Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't love it like I love movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just didn't love it. And when you fall in love with a beautiful woman like cinema, you just don't think very straight. I didn't. I just said, baby, come on, let's go. And, she just kicked the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So, but that didn't matter. I didn't care.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, in hindsight, though, you know, so few directors, I mean, the label auteur gets, like, tossed around all the time. But, you know, having done literally everything in your movies, whether it's the writing to the filmmaking to the actual scoring, is there some sort of, I mean, there has to be a delight looking back now and being like, it is pretty cool that I've done all, I was the jack of all trades with all my work. Like, you kind of had your hands on everything for the most part, you know?
Yeah, it's great. I don't necessarily want to talk about it if it's any good, but let's just talk about the fact that I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fabulous. I've had a great fucking life.
Yeah.
I hate to put it, that'd be just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I have this second career now. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just unbelievable. Anyway.
Well, going back to just quickly to the Hellion score for a second. You know, I noticed that, like, the closing track, Halloween Triumphant, has kind of a dancey sort of feel to it.
I think we ought to put it out as a dance record.
I really it's so funny. Like, I was running the other day, and I just had it on, and I was... And I just noticed, I was like, oh my God, this could absolutely kill at a festival.
Man. Listen, all we have to do is put a big bass drum, an electronic bass drum, and hits in there. Boom, boom,
yeah.
And we got it.
Yeah.
We'll send it out to all the DJs that can play it, and the kids can take ecstasy and dance.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that was happening at the Halloween show at the Palladium.
I don't know. I don't know. We played a little bit of it, but
yeah. Did you?
I don't know about the drugs, but yeah.
Well, did you have your live show in mind when you were doing the score?
No. No, we didn't. The live show essentially it morphed into let's play John's themes from John's movies, which the audience seems to like.
Yeah.
And then we just added the new Halloween, like you said, Halloween Triumphant.
Yeah.
But we didn't do it as the electronic disco type thing. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, you should absolutely try that. I would love it.
I can't convince anybody else except you.
You got to do it. I think if you just toss it out there in the live show, I think people would be like, wait, what the hell is this? Jesus, this is awesome. well, on the opposite side of dance, there is a lot of guitar in this, and you know, I know Alan Howarth had tried, you know, had pretty much welded it back in the series in the 80s and the 90s, and so it's not exactly new to the Halloween, but I think this is more effective. And I wondered, Did you have to have any consideration on too heavy or to go too heavy or to go too light with the guitar? Was there, you know, moments where you kind of just wanted to even go even more with the soloing? You know, how was the kind of, how did you?
Well, I would love to put a guitar solo on everything, but I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I have somebody, who can really play guitar.
It's, yeah.
Daniel Davies, and Dave Davies' son. And I just love to let him go. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, it doesn't work. I mean, it's all what works for the movie. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't work in this scene and that scene. And you know, we had to be... The music is in some places light.
Mm-hmm.
But by light, I mean it's not a heavy sound. It's very bell and piano sounds.
Yeah.
And playing kind of spooky and sad shit. So, like, we can't do that. But
yeah.
We let loose in some places.
Well, on Michael Kills Again, one of the things I really love on that is the percussion.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I know you're a big gamer, and I wanted to know if that had any influence on this also, just because it seems like I just listen to this sometimes and I'm just like, God, this could be like easily in a first person shooter or like a horror film or something. Like, or
I know.
Game.
And no one thinks about me to do music for games. That'd be great.
It's you should be, you know, scoring Red Dead Redemption or something. I mean, Jesus, this is insane.
Yeah.
I
didn't think of that, but I think there's a part of me that is dying to do a game score. I'm just dying to do it, but I don't think anybody will hire me.
Oh, I doubt that. I guarantee. I think if you had you opened some doors there for sure, that would happen. But,
maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
You know, there's been so many interpretations of this theme, and especially last year with Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. And I wonder, have you ever listened to any of them? Or
There's one. That's Escape from New York. Somebody did Escape from New York. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was. I can't remember who it was, though. I can't remember the name of the group, but it was guitar heavy with lots of solos. And I thought, shit, this is great.
Yeah.
Can't remember it now. Well, what was the question?
If you'd like some of the interpretations for the Halloween theme, if any of them ever really kind of, you know, called out to you. And,
I love them. The best use of the Halloween theme to me was a wrestling tag team and made the Samoan squat team. And as they entered the ring, they played the Halloween theme like on a tiny little boombox. They weren't in the big venues. They were in the tiny ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
That's great.
That. Oh God. It's funny.
How did you hear about that? Or did
somebody
word of
told
mouth?
Me they that's saw a, it. They were live.
That's great.
Well,
I mean, is there, you know, every artist has their hits, and, you know, a lot of artists always talk about how they can kind of get tired and fatigued from them. And does that happen with Halloween now? Or did this kind of rejuvenate it a little bit?
No. It doesn't. And playing it is a joy because my son plays the main theme, the da-da-da-da. He played all that. I just play the bass.
Oh, nice.
I love it now. I don't have that. You know, I have minimal chops as a musician. They're not great. And, you know, over the years, I just can't play that fast anymore, nor do I care to play that fast anymore. So I'm going to try to get other people to do the dirty work.
Well, speaking of other people, we actually just spoke to Tommy Lee Wallace a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And he says that you keep in touch, and I brought up the Coupe de Villes. And was there any interest on your end to make this happen? I know Nick Castle showed up at one of the shows recently, so I wondered, has it ever floated in your mind to be like, hey, maybe we should get together and just do a one-off or even do like a show? You know?
I know what we should do. I just don't know. We should do one of these concerts that I'm doing.
Yeah.
The three of us ought to get up and do the main title from Big Trouble in Little
China. Absolutely. Yes.
And that would be fun to do. I would love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I haven't. I've talked to Nick about it. He's ready to go.
Tommy said he'd be down. He loved it. He thought it was a great idea. So, Have you, do you ever think about even going back and doing like a rock album or something like that? Even while you're...
Yeah, sure. I don't think about it much anymore, but yeah. I used to. I really would love to do one. But I get to express all my shit now and the Lost Themes stuff. And see, I get to do it all now.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sing, which is hard to do.
It is.
It's hard to sound good.
It's definitely, yeah, yeah. Well, if you had, what are some of the, you know... At this point, I imagine. I mean, I my favorite rock albums change every month, every day.
Tell me about it.
But what are some that have like really stuck with you over the years that you just never really lost?
Some of the stuff that I grew up with, I still love a great deal. The Beatles, you know, you got to realize. I was a kid when the Beatles came out, and oh man, they were unbelievable. Yeah. The music was unbelievable.
Are you an early Beatles fan or a late Beatles
fan?
Oh,
hell yes. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a stunner to hear them. They were just so unique.
Yeah.
And they would do an album in like every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's insane.
I mean, I don't know how they did it.
I don't, you know, it's weird. I watched one for Rubber Soul, a documentary that came out earlier this year. And how that album pretty much just came out because they needed to hit something for a December or Christmas
release.
Do
you believe that?
And they did it all in 1 month, in that whole album.
You believe it? I mean, it's unreal.
It's insane.
So, the genius of those guys. Anyway, I loved a lot of groups. I loved the Doors, the Birds, those guys, you know, all in the 60s, that stuff.
Yeah.
But... you know, I listen to a lot of the recent kind of pop music. And this rock music, I mean, you know, it's most of it's derivative now. It's unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
I just hear other. I've heard things I've heard before.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, what? Really? Really?
Yeah.
And so, I'm not a big rap fan.
No.
I don't know why. Maybe I've closed my mind off to it, but.
I feel like it's interesting because there's been a lot of a lot of hip hop that has cited your music for sure. Like I know I know Dr. Dre did for I think the Chronic 2001. He used a song for I think he used the Halloween theme.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he paid me for it either.
No,
I don't think he did. Well, I don't know. Maybe he.
Well, you two are in California. You should go meet up sometime.
Meet up right.
Yeah.
Where's my money? I'm gonna say.
Well, I guess, in terms of like looking ahead and, I know that the last time we spoke, you had hinted that you were working on, Lost Themes 3 and.
Well, yeah, well, you know, we've been putting together some music and, you know, it's not anywhere done. The group is kind of splitting up.
No,
just temporarily.
Oh,
my son's going over to Japan. He's a Japanophile.
Nice.
Loves Japan. I think he has a couple girlfriends over there. I'm not sure, but he's going over and to hang out and go to see some girl groups over there. He loves the Japanese idol groups, they call them.
Nice.
And
well, rock is huge.
And
there,
so my godson is going to have he and his wife are going to have a baby. So,
oh wow!
So you know the group is not intensely working on anything. So
yeah.
We'll get back together and do some more stuff.
I love it.
We need to rest now after Halloween. We need to rest
and
keep out of sight. You know, I don't think we need to bug anybody now.
No. Although, what if they knock on your door for the second or if the sequel that's obviously
we'll be ready. We've all talked about it. We'll be
awesome.
Ready.
Awesome.
And if they don't, then fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had this movie, so that'll be good. But, and I guess you've been following everything. I gotta always ask about basketball, but I imagine you're following what's going on with the Warriors right now.
I love the Warriors. You know, I love the Warriors.
Oh yeah.
They had an incredible game last night. I'm so proud of them. They lost, but I'm proud of them.
Yeah,
because two of their greatest players weren't available, and they still they just gave Toronto a run for the money. I'm watching kind of with a wary eye. I'm watching LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah.
Boy, everywhere LeBron goes, the media follows.
They do. I do.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a Miami fan, so when he came down there, it was all of a sudden I had all these people hate my team, and I'm like, wait, what the hell? Nobody cared about my team like two months ago. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, isn't it weird?
It's odd. Yeah, and he still shows no signs of slowing down. It's wild.
He's incredible.
He's an anomaly
at his age, and he's still just pulling it off. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I think, you know, I saw he was in the movie with what's her name?
Amy Schumer. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, yeah.
He could act if he wanted to.
Yeah, he has a. You have an icebreaker with him if you ever got to meet him. He recently just posted. He was watching Halloween 2 with the mask on.
And I know,
he was sharing. It was ridiculous. It was just like he's a huge horror fan. I guess, but
I think he's involved in they're going to reboot Friday the 13th.
Yeah, which is interesting. I wonder if he'll be in it. But he's actually a good actor. So who knows?
Yeah, he could be. Oh, I think he should be the what's his name, the killer.
Yeah, Jason.
I think he's
like, hilarious.
Put on a ski mask, or hockey mask.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's clear why. I mean, that's obviously why he moved to LA. I have to imagine that's why he took the Lakers deal, because it's not like the team was that enticing to him right now.
Well, no. You know? No, not really. No. But maybe we'll make the south end of the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know.
Do you buy too much into the drama going on with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green? And
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Steph Curry said they have a brother relationship.
Yeah.
They bicker like brothers. And I don't know. I hope it's okay.
Yeah.
I hope they can play together.
Yeah. I mean, people forget how much like drama there was between like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and stuff. So
I know.
It all happens. But, well, thank you so much. This has been.
Thank you, man. It's been fun.
I love talking to you as always. And, you know, thank you so much. And, you know, this has been an incredible year. And I can't wait to see what you do next. You know.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Happy holidays.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. I'm going to say that's not the last time we talked to Mr. Carpenter. Well, yes, we are going to be moving to Springwood, Ohio for our dissection of A Nightmare on Elm Street next year. He did say that he's working on Lost Themes 3 and would be open to do another Halloween film. So if that comes to fruition, odds are we're going to be talking to him again. And we'll let you know, Halloweenies, because we know how much you love to listen to Mr. Carpenter as much as we do. In the meantime, stay tuned for our dissection of Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, which is going to close out our Halloween series. And then also keep your eyes peeled for another holiday treat in Bob Clark's Black Christmas. Why are we doing Black Christmas? Well, a lot of people say it's kind of a spiritual prequel of sorts to Halloween, if only because it's about a holiday. And we thought it would just be fun to do as something to cap off the year, especially since we really do love that movie. So stay tuned for that. And then also keep on the lookout for some more episodes with The Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast, which is also available in the Consequence Podcast Network. Be sure to leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Podchaser, send us snail mail, like that also. But in the meantime, lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn off the lights. And then hope and pray that Santa Claus or Krampus is going to bring you a copy of David Gordon Green's Halloween, because it's coming out soon on digital and Blu-ray. See ya.
Consequence Podcast Network.